the Lord, he's high above all the earth. He's high above everything else. I mean, you said, look, all these things have my hand made. So what is the place, you know, where is the house that you're going to build to me? And where is the place of my rest, saith the Lord? So in attempting to answer that question, here's what the Lord said. All those things have my hand made. Well, anything that you can bring to the Lord, he made it already. You know, but all those things have been before. But this is the man or woman to whom I will look. To this man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. That's humble. And trembles at my word. Now that's really what causes, that's what creates the fear of the Lord. Is that trembling at his word. You know, when people don't tremble at the word, then there's really no fear of God in their hearts. You know, so that's our introduction this morning. And let me get right to it. You know, and we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord in the ways that the scripture describes it. We're going to talk about even the benefits of this fear of the Lord. We're going to describe what it really means and why is it that we're calling it a heart of gold when you have it. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Why are we calling it a heart of gold before the Lord? Well, it's something that the Lord cherishes. It's something that he even desires. It is something the scripture commands. And let's take a deep dive into it this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll start off here in reading some things. We'll take it slow at first, and then it might get deeper. Some of the things that the Bible has to say about the fear of the Lord. In some places, he calls it the beginning of wisdom. We'll find that in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And in other places, it actually calls it the very wisdom itself. So Proverbs 9 and verse 10 calls it the beginning of wisdom. You know, praise the Lord. So that's one way that he describes it. Well, for you to even begin to have wisdom, you have to have the fear of the Lord in your heart. That's one way that he describes it. Well, so let's read a couple more scriptures where what does he say it is? Well, the fear of the Lord is also the instruction of wisdom. That's Proverbs 15 and 33. And it says, before honor is humility. Now, humility and the fear of the Lord go together, as we read in Isaiah 66. That being poor and contrite, that's humility before the Lord. That means it's a heart that is not haughty. It's not a haughty heart. It's not a lifted up heart, but it's a heart that's humble before the Lord. So these are some of the things that the Lord talks about, you know, of how fear of the Lord can begin to open up the gateway for us into wisdom. Psalm 111 and verse 10 also says the same thing. You know, so first of all, we are giving these verses that talk about the how the fear of the Lord opens the gateway for wisdom. You know, so these three verses that I gave, those, you know, that's what those verses say. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111 verse 10. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So, it's a beginning of wisdom. But let's look at the way that it's called out in the book of Job. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. This one takes it even deeper than than just the beginning. Job chapter 28 and verse 28 will tell you that the fear of the Lord is the very wisdom. You know, it's more than just the beginning of it. The fear of the Lord, he said, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You know, so, you know, we start with it's the gateway, but we are going into, look, it's more than the gateway. You know, when you are walking in the fear of the Lord, you are wrapped in wisdom. It'll keep you from all kinds of things, you know, that are evil and that the Lord detests. So, as we go slowly into this, I want you to let this word sink in, because all of a sudden we're going to get deeper into this thing. The Lord even desires, he longs for the people to fear him. See how the Lord says it in Deuteronomy, you know, chapter 5 and verse 29. The Lord longs for the fear of the Lord in the heart of his people. He longs for it. You know, he said, look, oh, that my people might fear me. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. This is God talking. He wants that. He longs for it. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. Puts an exclamation mark at the end of that too. You know, so this is even God speaking. He longs for the fear of the Lord in in the heart of his people. And he said, look, when they do that, it will be well with them. It shall be well not only with them, but their children forever. Glory to God. We are commanded to fear the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, we are commanded to fear the Lord. You know, we must fear the Lord. It's a commandment. It's not just, you know, it's not just an exhortation. It's beyond that. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and shall serve him. Well, in those days, you know, talk about swearing by his name. Well, we don't need to swear anymore. But thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and shall serve him. Praise God. And in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, he talks about the same thing. We are commanded. There's places throughout the scriptures where we're commanded. He said, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Glory to God. These are the things that we are commanded concerning the fear of the Lord. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. As we go through this, keep your mind on it. Is it possible actually for us to have this fear of the Lord all the time? I'm going to give you a couple of stories towards the end of this. But is it possible to fear the Lord all the time? Well, let's consider Proverbs 23 and verse 17 and see whether it is possible to actually have the fear of God. We're not talking about, you know, one day we fear the Lord, someday we don't, or part of the day we fear the Lord and sometime we don't. We're talking about all the time. Say, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all that day long. And that's all the day long. All is all. All the day long. And every day for that matter. Every single day. All the day long. Be thou in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to be sought. We have to seek after it. We must seek after it. right away when this writer of the book of Proverbs began to write instructions, you know, and so forth, in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, he would tell us right away from that, that this fear of the Lord is something that we have to seek after. We must seek after the fear of the Lord. It was coming here that, you know, there are some people that hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel and so forth, you know, and they despise all my reproof. And of course, you know, all, you know, that all led to them going away in their evil ways. But if we seek the fear of the Lord, if we choose to seek the fear of the Lord, my goodness, then there's a lot of things, you know, that will happen. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. You know, the fear of the Lord will lead us to away from the fear of evil. You won't fear evil if you fear the Lord. That's the last verse of that Proverbs 1:33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Why are there so many things concerning the fear of the Lord? Well, we must not only fear the Lord ourselves, we must teach it to our children. It has to be learned and it has to be taught. We learn it and we teach it. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10 talks about how not only are we to acquire this fear of the Lord. It's something, and we, you know, I'll give you another verse in a minute, that we must pass on to our children. We must learn it, and we must teach it to our children. You know, the Lord, you know, Moses telling here, he said, look, the day in which you stood before the Lord in Mount Horeb, and when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach it to their children. So not only must we learn the fear of the Lord, we must also teach it to our children. Psalm 34 and verse 11 commands us in, you know, similar terms, not only to learn the fear of the Lord, but also that we teach it to our children. These are the, you know, he's saying here, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's our responsibility to teach it to our children. We learn it and we teach it to our children. Well, let's look at, you know, the way it is brought out in the book of Nehemiah. There needs to be a desire for the fear of the Lord. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 11, there has to be a desire for fearing the Lord. That desire, you know, it brings good things into our life when we desire to fear the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, let's read this. O Lord, I beseech thee, let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So there needs to be a desire in our hearts to fear the Lord. Well, let's look at, you know, some of the, well, first of all, let's look at the conclusion of the whole matter before we look at some of the benefits. And then there is a charge that I will give. The conclusion of the whole matter in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 says, you know, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is the whole matter? Well, all the things that he has been talking about, you know, all of it up to that point, said the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's it. To fear God and to keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. So this is the time for us to learn the fear of the Lord and to keep his commandments. This creates a heart of gold. It is in trembling at his word. Now let's define the fear of the Lord. We talked about it from these scriptures, but let's define it. Well, God defined it already by saying it is the trembling at his word. People that tremble at his word, when they hear the word of God, it moves them into correction. You know, it can bring reproof. It can bring admonition. It can bring all kinds of things. The word of God is profitable for all those things. And when we hear the word of God, it's also like looking in the mirror to see where things need to be corrected. When we hear the word of God, we must immediately, you know, take correction or take to it whatever the word of God is saying. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know, it's good for teaching. It is good for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. But when we hear it and we say, well, it doesn't matter. That's the age that we are living in today, unfortunately. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the age of it doesn't matter. You know, this generation X or whatever they be called, you know, doesn't matter. I have spoken and I've seen that even many young people, they don't care. They don't see anything wrong in anything anybody is doing. You know, it just doesn't matter. You know, they want everybody to do their thing. Everybody be their person, be their own, you know, define their own life and so forth. And it doesn't matter. This spirit of it doesn't matter does not tremble at God's word. But people that hear the word of God and tremble at it, that is the man to whom I will look, said the Lord. You know, there was before I go into all of the benefits of the fear of the Lord, let me just give you a couple of examples in the scriptures. We know that Joseph, when Joseph was in Egypt, Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 to 9, and wife of Potiphar was trying to seduce him, what kept him was the fear of the Lord. You know, and it wasn't because, I mean, there was nobody around but him and the woman. He was so far away from his family, he could have chosen not to be accountable, you know, to anybody. And then just, you know, for a moment of pleasure, you know, done whatever he wanted and giving in to the seductress. But he did not. And his reason for not giving in was because of the fear of the Lord. He had the fear of the Lord in his heart. And he said no. He refused. And he wouldn't do it because of the fear of the Lord. He said, look, my master doesn't know what's going on in his house. Doesn't even know his left from his right. He has given everything to my hand. There is none greater than me in this house. Whatever I do, it goes. You know, he has not kept anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say sin against Pharaoh. You know, sin against God. So that was the fear of the Lord that kept him from that. And he wouldn't do it. You know, and on the other hand, we saw the story of David. Now, David, before I tell you the bad part, for the most part, actually, people forget this when they think of the Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, people try to define David. No, David was not defined by that at all. You know, David, observed himself. He kept himself perfectly in the way of the Lord. His heart was perfect before the Lord all his days, except in this one thing. In the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. But God did not define David by that at all. He said, this is the problem today. You know, people latch on to some failure, you know, that was in their life. And others will latch onto it as well. And they try to define you by that. You cannot be defined by those things. And God doesn't define, God never defined David by, it was just, look, Bible is full of everything. The Bible puts it out there. There is doctrine and there is history in the Bible. And the history is what we saw. We learn from both. We learn from doctrine. We learn from history. History was what happened in the case of, you know, David and all the stories and all these things we read there. History, but we learn from that. And God never defined David by the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. And if anybody is still defining David that by that this way, you've missed the point. David was a man who had feared the Lord all the days of his life. Well, you know, he missed the mark in this case, and we're coming to it. But, you know, there are many cases where David walked perfectly. The Bible says he walked perfectly in his ways before the Lord, except for the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. There was a time that David had an opportunity. You know how Saul was always chasing him, trying to kill him. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, from verses 4 to 7, there's a story there. Saul was always chasing David all over the place. When they tell him, oh, David is over here. He's held up in, you know, in the hills of En-Gedi or here and there. And then he would start chasing him all over the place. You know, and David was running from pillar to post because, you know, God... Saul was chasing him. So David went into one place. Saul chased him there. And in the night, you know, Saul was over, you know, sleeping in some cave. And the servants of David spied him out. And they said to David in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 24, the man of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him all that seemeth good unto you. They're even telling him that God said he will deliver your enemy into your hand. And this is the day. So they're trying to put David into a corner. So David arose and went over where Saul was sleeping. And all his, there was a deep sleep that God put on all of them. God was actually going to see what David was going to do. Put a deep sleep on Saul, put a deep sleep on all his bodyguards and everything. And David went there and just cut off part of Saul's skirt and left. He could have just killed Saul right there. All he had to do was drive the spear into his heart, pin him to the ground and be done with it. Rid himself of his enemy for good. And he could have just become king right away. You know. And God had anointed him to be king, but this man Saul was going to make sure that David would not be king because he wanted to install Jonathan. And so he was going to do everything to kill David. And even just for cutting, you know, Saul's skirt, his heart smote him. The Bible says here it came to pass in verse 5 afterward that his heart smote him. He was convicted. He felt heavy in his spirit. Why did I even touch his skirt? Not even his life. You're talking of his skirt. And he did it that just to prove a point to Saul that, look, I had the opportunity. I came this close. I could have killed you. So why are you doing this to me? So afterward, he said, here's what he said. He said unto his men, the Lord forbid. Now, this is, if you talk about someone that fear the Lord. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. He's still calling this crazy person that's trying to kill him his master. He's calling him the Lord's anointed. you know, I mean, David himself was anointed of the Lord. But David would fear the Lord, and he said, look, this man was anointed. And as much as he's still wearing the crown, he's the Lord's anointed. And I will not stretch forth my hand against him, because he is the anointed of the Lord. And so David prevented his servants from going up to hurt Saul. And David later would challenge Saul about that and all that story and so on. You know, and David said, look, why do you seek to hurt me? You know, I had the opportunity today to kill you. And the Lord judged between us and so on and so forth. But see, he had the opportunity, but because he feared the Lord, he trembled at God's word to know that touch not my anointed. Hallelujah. Whether it was evil or not, it was still God's anointed. And David trembled at that. You know, and in fact, all the days of David's life, except for this Bathsheba thing and Uriah thing, he trembled at God's word. And even when God judged him on it, he still trembled at God's word. You know, and when he did, every time that he did some evil before the Lord, even when he numbered Israel, you know, and he wasn't supposed to do that. And the prophet of the Lord came to him and said, look, you know, I'm going to give you three choices of what to do. David said, look, I don't care what anything else. Just let me fall into the hands of the Lord. Because the Lord is merciful. I mean, and every time that God spoke to others that came, his descendants, after David, he always remembered David. He would say, you know, David, because of David, thy father, even though they were great, great grandchildren. And then the scripture would always say to them also that of them that they walked in the way of David, their father. I mean, Hezekiah, he was many years, many generations removed from David, but they are still talking about David, his father. All these people, whether they walked in the way of David, their father, all the kings of Israel and Judah, they were compared with David, all of them. Whether they walked in the ways of David or did not. I mean, and God said, this was a man after my heart. David had a heart of gold because he feared the Lord greatly. Now, in a moment of carelessness, of course, in the story of Bathsheba and Uriah, now we're not, you know, justifying him. He did great evil because the first thing when the people went to war, he should have been going to war. He was a man of war. If he had gone to war, he would have not been in that situation. But even when he was in that situation, the moment he was told that it was somebody else's wife, that was the end of it. That should have been the end of it. That's a no-go area. Now, yeah, so I don't think he went up there to go and look for a woman, but he went up there. And when he saw the woman, you know, and said, hey, who's that woman? And they told, he's somebody's wife. That would have been the end if at that moment he was operating in the fear of the Lord, which he wasn't. He would have said, that's a no-go area. I said, but the moment you don't walk in the fear of the Lord, he brings in all kinds of things. He brought the evil plotting in his heart. He wanted to so much have that woman, you know, and he, because of his power as king. See, this again, you see, this was a nasty story of somebody in a moment that did not have the fear of the Lord. Tried to use his power as king, you know, to force this woman, you know, and so forth. And everything, one thing led to another, one thing led to another. And it even led to, and the whole time that he was doing that, his heart was seared. You know, this is what happens when people divert away from the fear of the Lord. You know, once you give up on walking on the fear of the Lord, it opens up to all kinds of things. And people start to justify their actions. David started to do all things, you know, because he found out that he made a woman pregnant. You did. You have to own up to your sins. He didn't. Wanted to cover it up by killing her husband. And so on and so forth. You all know the story. And he did great evil in the eyes of the Lord because he allowed one moment of his life where he was not walking in the fear of the Lord until today. Unfortunately for him, that's how he is defined in the minds of people. When anybody think of anybody today, when they think of all the great things David did, there's always going to be this but in everybody's mind, including my own. Because we always think of, why in the world did he do this? I mean, he had such a good thing going for him. Why did you allow this thing to just mess up your story? But God didn't define him like that. Till today, God said, I will sit on the throne of David. So those of you who are still judging David by the case of Uriah, get off of it. It's enough already. You know, but it's a lesson for us to learn. This is what the life of a man will be when they do not choose the fear of the Lord. To walk in it all day long, not sometimes. You know, if he had continued walking in the fear of the Lord all day long, he wouldn't be in that situation. But he did, and he made God into a terrible mess. But in order for him to clean up that mess, you know, he repented before the Lord. Well, the Lord said, well, fine, but you're going to pay for it dearly. You know, you're going to pay for it dearly. The Lord punished him for it. He lost that son that was born to him of that evil deed that he did. And after that, you know, God never spoke about that again. It was done. The word that he spoke concerning David was still steadfast. You know, so again, this reminds us that, look, you may have had your evil moments when you did something awful and it cost you dearly. You know, sometimes some of the horrible things we do will cost us dearly. But if you truly turn your heart to the Lord and repent, God does not define you by that all the rest of your life. God's done with it and he's moved on. And his word is still steadfast. But only because David repented. Now, if David would not have repented, and I mean, he was really bitter and he repented before the Lord. Well, you know, David should have just stayed with the fear of the Lord in the first place and he wouldn't have been in that mess. But the story is there for us to learn from it. So where does that leave us today? Well, getting back to our lesson on the fear of the Lord. I've given you two examples where somebody truly feared the Lord and kept them from sin. That was Joseph. Somebody who was not walking in the fear of the Lord at that point in his life, even though he walked in the fear of the Lord at other areas and he conducted himself perfectly before the Lord most of his life, except in this one case and other things, you know, we saw the evil that he landed him into. Well, that's a lesson for us today. But let's take a look at some of the benefits of the fear of the Lord. Now, remember the Lord said at our opening scripture that this is the man that I will look to. God doesn't have respect of persons, but if you want to talk about this is the man that God will have respect towards, this is the man. Just like God said, look, God had no respect for Cain's sacrifice, but he did for Abel's because it was by the blood. You know, it was a blood sacrifice. So God looked to that, you know. And so this is the man that God will look to if you are trembling at his word. You know, I don't care if somebody fall into error. When they hear the word of God, how they respond will let you know, will be an indication of their heart. When they have the fear of the Lord, they can make a mistake. God wants us to be perfect. God doesn't want us to keep falling. And one scripture says, look, I'm weary of your, you know, repentance and all these things. God is weary of it. And every day we come back, Father, I have sinned, you know, like one religion does that. I have sinned, absolve me of my sin, and they go right back and do it. God doesn't, you know, have time for that, you know. But when we hear the word of God, You know, when we hear his word, and if we tremble at it, oh, that's a heart of gold. You know, no matter how wicked somebody is, when they hear the word of God, God will have mercy on them if they tremble. It may not be complete relief, but it may delay, as we saw in the case of Ahab. When the judgment was brought upon Ahab by the word of the Lord, he trembled. And the Lord said, look, see how this man Ahab trembles before me and so forth like that. You know, when you hear, you know, when you hear the word of the Lord, before I get to this, the story of Ahab, let me leave that for a minute. Let me give you this verse in Jeremiah 15 and 6 before I forget it. In Jeremiah 15 and 6, the Lord said, look, I am, you know, weary. So weary of these things. There's many ways that you can read that, right? You can read it that, you know, and said, look, you have forsaken me. You have gone backward. Therefore, will my hand be against you and destroy thee. I'm weary with repenting, you know, all these things and so forth. It just wearies the Lord. The Lord doesn't want us to be doing that. But he wants us to, however, we can, when we hear the word of God, no matter what situation, no matter how we got there, no matter, you know, how anything that we've done, if we hear the word of the Lord and we tremble at his word, oh my goodness, the Lord will even have mercy. Sometimes, you know, at, you know, the person that will tremble at his word, no matter how, you know, how evil they have done before the Lord. Now, the story of Ahab in the Bible, he was a wicked king. We know that, right? He was a wicked king and he did great evil. And even his wife stirred him up to do even more evil before the Lord. And so many times that this man Ahab, in fact, even one time, you know, God said, look, who is going to go down there and persuade this Ahab to go and fall at Ramoth Gilead? I mean, this was a man that did great evil. Great evil before the Lord. But when judgment was pronounced against him, the Lord said, look, see how this man, you know, has, you know, walked before me humbly. You know, see how this man has walked before me. See how this wicked man has walked before me. And then God began to postpone the judgment, you know, because he trembled at the word of God at that very moment. Now, there are other things, there are other people who at one time or the other trembled at God's word. But sometimes people don't tremble. They just, you know, they just let things be. You know, there's a story, you know, that we've told in this, we've told this story many times here. The story of the man in 1 Kings 13. You know, he did evil before the Lord. He disobeyed the word of God, you know, and so forth. And God, you know, when he was judged for disobeying the word of God, he did not tremble. He did not repent. He did not fall down and beg for God's mercy. He just took it like that. And of course, you know, it didn't go well with him at all. But if he would have trembled at the word of God, you know, if he would have feared the Lord greatly and would have, I believe in my heart that if he would have just asked the Lord for forgiveness, God would have had mercy on him. But the prophet that deceived him had also brought the word of judgment against him and said, look, inasmuch as you have disobeyed the word which I told you, the Lord said, and told you not to go back or do this or that, and you have done it, your carcass shall fall by the wayside. You will not even come to the place of sepulchres of your fathers. And he just took it like that, and he went. If he would have trembled at God's word, you know, then perhaps God would have had mercy on him. I strongly believe that God would have had mercy on him. I believe that with all my heart. You know, so it is important, you know, that, you know, it is important for us to tremble at his word. When we tremble at his word, what that means is this. We take the word of God that comes to us. It could be for admonition. It could be for correction. It could be for reproof. It could be for anything. We take that word and believe it with all of our heart and begin to ask for God's mercy. That's fearing the Lord. When we do that, God can change, you know, or have mercy in that situation. There is this story in 1 Kings chapter 21. When the prophet of the Lord came and pronounced evil against the house of Ahab. He said, look, there was none evil like Ahab in 1 Kings 21 and verse 25, which did sell himself to walk wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, also stirred up. He did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things that the Amorites did, whom the Lord also cast out before the children of Israel. You know, but when Ahab heard the voice of the Lord that, you know, Elijah pronounced against him, because he said, have you found me, Elijah, oh, my enemy? And he said, yeah, I have found you, because thou hast sold thyself to walk evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy prosperity. I will cut off from Ahab him that pissed against the wall, and shut up in Israel, make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, you know, and the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. You know, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin, I will cut you up, you know. And of Jezebel, he said, look, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And when he began to pronounce all these things against him, the Bible says that when Ahab, it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words in verse 27, 1 Kings 21, that he rent his clothes. Well, we don't know why he rent his clothes. Maybe he said, you know. And he put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went very softly. You know, and this man that the Bible already said, none like him in doing evil. Immediately heard the word of God at that particular point in life. You know, he put sackcloth on his head and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how this Ahab humbleth himself before me? How he trembles at my word, because he had humbled himself before me and he has trembled at my word. I'm putting mine there. I will not bring this evil in his days. I'm going to bring it nonetheless, but you know, I will postpone it for a little bit. You know, I mean, look at how trembling at the word of God. Now, if a wicked person can tremble at the word of God and get a little bit of reprieve, you know, that God will prolong the evil, how much more if a righteous person trembles at the word, for the lengthening of their tranquility. Hallelujah. You tremble at the word. You know, in the days of Daniel, when he was in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, Darius and all of those people and so forth. You know, some of them lifted up their hearts. Nebuchadnezzar did lift up of his heart before the Lord, and all the things that came to him, he, at the end of his days, he learned a big lesson, you know, and he gave glory to God. But his son came up in his stead and began to vaunt himself up the same way. And he didn't do any, you know, of the things, you know, that, I mean, he didn't learn anything, you know, from what his, you know, father had gone through. He says in Daniel 5 that Belshazzar made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. And when he tasted the wine, he commanded the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. You know, commanded to bring, you know, there are other vessels that you can use, but no, you know, want to make sure it desecrate everything. Bring the princes, bring his wives, his concubines, that they drink therein. And they brought all these vessels taken out of the temple of the house of God, and they drank, and all in that same hour, while they were doing the drinking, a man's fingers came up and wrote against the wall. You know, and we found out that nobody could figure out what he wrote. So the queen, who was actually queen mother, you know, said to the man, you know, when nobody could interpret, he said, look, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, she told him, in the days of your father, I tell you, in the days of your father, this man, you know, he was the one. He put your father straight in all these things. He told the father, your father, all these things. If you call him, he'll tell you. So they called Daniel, you know, and Daniel, of course, interpreted the thing, you know, as you remember the story, the handwriting on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, offer same, you know, that, you know, and he gave the interpretation, what all that meant. But here's what he said. He said, thou his son, O Belshazzar, you knew all the things that happened to your father. And instead of you trembling up, you know, he told him, you know, he said, look, thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father. This is Daniel 5, verse 18. He gave your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And the majesty that he gave him, all people and nations and languages, because of that majesty, trembled and feared before him. Whomever he would, he slew. He was a monarch. Whom he would, he kept alive. And who he would set up, he brought down. He did all these things. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind was hardened in pride, you know, he was disposed of, or deposed of his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the of beasts. And he dwelled in with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. Body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men and gave it to whomever he will. But thou, his son, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all these things. But you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven and have brought the vessels of his house and desecrated everything and so on and so forth. So he told him this thing. Well, you know, the man, he did not tremble. He really didn't tremble at his word. All he did was, well, you interpreted the thing. Well, let me put a chain of gold around your neck. Let me do this and do that. Make him a ruler. But did he repent? No. If he would have fallen on his face and repented, perhaps the Lord would have heard, you know, would have had mercy on him. So trembling at his word also means, I mean, seriously means that we follow his word in the first place to keep us from sin. That what have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. But, and if you go into error or fall, then you must tremble at his word and use that word for correction. come back. Now, here are some of the benefits of wisdom. The benefits of the fear of the Lord. Number one benefit that we see, other than the things we've already read about creating wisdom in our lives and so forth. Let me give you some of these benefits of the fear of the Lord. It creates a heart of gold. That's the place that God wants to be. So here's the one I'm looking for. But the angel of the Lord in Psalm 34 and verse 7 encamps around them that fear the Lord. So we see that the fear of the Lord brings protection by God's angels. That's Psalm 34 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord brings us into health, and we can even receive healing from God. That's Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So we see how the fear of the Lord can also even bring deliverance and healing. The fear of the Lord will bring us good always. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and verse 25. He says, if you fear the Lord, it will bring you into good always. Now, everybody wants good. I want good. So why would I then not fear the Lord? He said, he commanded them to do these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be for our righteousness if we fear the Lord, if we observe to do these things that he has commanded us. So that's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. It is for our good always when we fear the Lord. Many benefits to fearing the Lord. In fact, here is what Psalm 112 verses 1 and to 3 says about it. It's the man that feareth the Lord. There's a lot of blessings for him. Many good things to come upon him. Even how his children will be great. Because he feared the Lord. The blessing of the Lord even passed to his children. Say, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And that's the fearing of the Lord. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, because he feareth the Lord, and all these things. And even his children shall be blessed after him. So fear of the Lord is a heart of gold. It's a place that brings blessings to us. Those that fear the Lord shall be rewarded with good things. That's in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13. Those that fear the Lord, they will be rewarded with good things. Proverbs 13 and 13. The fear of the Lord brings understanding. We read that earlier, Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord brings understanding. Sometimes, I love to talk about understanding and so forth, but behind it all, the fear of the Lord, understanding. Now, many are the benefits of the fear of the Lord. Let me go through them quickly. Not only does it bring understanding, it also brings knowledge. You will find that in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. It brings understanding. It brings knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 7 and Proverbs 2 verse 5. It talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In this case, in the other place, it talks about it being the beginning of wisdom. So the fear of God brings also knowledge. It also brings understanding in Proverbs chapter 2, and verse 5. He said, then, you know, that you understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. So the fear of the Lord brings even the knowledge of God into our lives. I mean, this is amazing. It brings riches, honor, and life. You'll find that in Proverbs 19 and verse 23. Proverbs 19 and verse 23 says that all, you know, in all these things, I know I'm giving a lot of scriptures, and you know, you may be able to catch up with them and you may not. I know my wife is posting some of them. Thank you for doing that. You know, Proverbs 19 and verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. You know, and if you have it, you will abide satisfied. You shall not be visited with evil. I mean, that alone right there is enough to challenge us. I said I was going to give us a charge. You know, this is the charge. Let your heart pursue the fear of the Lord. Because there's a lot of things to it. It creates a heart of gold. A place that God chooses to come and be with you. It will bring you into satisfaction. You will not even be visited with evil. That's Proverbs, you know, chapter 19. And verse 23. I mean, isn't that amazing? If I have the fear of the Lord, I will be satisfied and I will not be visited with evil. I mean, that's amazing. Listen to also Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4. So many blessings about, you know, the fear of the Lord. It said, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor. And life. So we see life comes from the fear of the Lord. We see that riches and being satisfied comes from the fear of the Lord. We see that even protection from evil. Say you will not be visited with evil. All these things come from the fear of the Lord. That is so amazing. Hallelujah. So amazing. Glory to God. I mean, we can go on. And I will still go on. There's a few more things. The fear of the Lord itself is like a fountain of life. Remember, we're saying the fear of the Lord is life. Proverbs 14 and 7. It says, it is a fountain of life. The very fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm looking at Proverbs. I think I may have given you the wrong verse here. Okay, let me move on. Not sure which verse I clicked on. I click on here. Go back. All right, so we were talking about Proverbs 14. I said 7. I meant 27. I looked away for a minute. Proverbs 14 and 27. It is a fountain of life. My goodness. He said here, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. I mean, all these verses that we have been reading, the last four or five verses that I gave, I've been talking about fear will keep you from being visited with evil, the fear of the Lord. Fear will keep you from, you know, getting into any kind of thing, you will be satisfied. It is a fountain of life. It will keep you from the snares of destruction and so on and so forth. I mean, these are the things that the fear of the Lord will do for us in our life. It also, that look, Psalm 25. Well, let me read even the verse. Let me read the verse before that. Proverbs 14:27. I just saw that. Let me read verse 26 as well. You know, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, you know, and his children shall have a place of refuge. So when we have the fear of the Lord, it also brings confidence, it brings us to a place of security. So that's, you can just call that Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. Because those two verses are back to back. Praise the Lord. You know, then we talk about the even entering into the secret and deep things of the Lord, understanding the covenant of grace and the mercy that God will have unto us. That's in Psalm 25 and verse 14. The fear of the Lord, I mean the secret of the Lord rather, is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Isn't that amazing? The fear of the Lord will bring us into those things. Glory to God. Now, let's read a few more verses here. And then there's something I will say at the end. And a prayer that we will make. So we go back to, we're still covering some of these benefits of the fear of the Lord. It'll cause us, as we have read already, to depart from evil. There are a few more verses you can check out on that one. I'm not going to stop to read every one of them. I'll just mention them. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 10. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. And Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. All of these scriptures, in addition to the one we just read, will tell us that it will keep us from evil when we have the fear of the Lord. We saw it in the case of Joseph. It kept him from evil. You know, and if it also kept David from evil in slaying Saul the first time, you know, that he had that opportunity. And if he would have kept that fear of the Lord in his heart, it would have also kept him from evil in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. Unfortunately, he did not. And we saw the end of that. That was not good at all. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. I will read that one. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So when, you know, because you fear the Lord. And I remember even as a child growing up, you know, and many children in our generation, I don't know about this generation, in our generation, the thing that kept you from doing wrong was the fear of retribution. You knew that if you did this thing, you're going to get into trouble. And that kept you from doing it. You know, today, people's hearts are seared. You know, they'll do it anyway, and then we'll deal with whatever happens later on. You know, that is a heart that is incorrigible. Now, but the fear of the Lord will keep you from evil. While you were younger, you know, you knew that if you did these things, you know, and that's the same thing, you know, for today in this society that we're in and wherever you are. If you are, you know, if you know that you're going to get into trouble in doing something, it's supposed to be some kind of a deterrent to restrain us from doing evil. That's why they put law out there. Some people disregard it anyway. Then they go and do it. You know, but that fear, you know, of the Lord, even the, you know, the natural fear that God puts in our heart, not the kind of fear that prevents you from taking a step of faith. No, we're not talking about that one. We're talking about even the fear that brings, you know, a sense of life preservation. You know, that's what prevents you from jumping out in the front of a car. That's what prevents you from going to jump off from a roof, you know, and all that. You know, that caution. Ah, this might, you know, lead me into danger. You know, you take that into many magnitudes when you talk about the fear of the Lord. You know, but when people don't have that fear, it's sad. The fear of the Lord, even the New Testament, most of these things we've been reading, and the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. But let's go to even the New Testament. In the book of Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, look, having therefore dearly beloved these promises and so forth, all these great things that, you know, we can come into with God and so forth. It said, we have to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the mind and even of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord will bring us into holiness. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Glory to God. Now Jesus, there was a prophecy about him in Isaiah 11. When he was to, you know, he said, look, this young child, this thing, you know, the branch and all of that that will come from the Lord, he's going to have a quickness in understanding the fear of the Lord. Now, this is a prayer that we must pray for ourselves before we get out of this room today. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And the Lord shall make him quick of understanding the fear of the Lord. He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. My goodness. And he shall not judge after his eyes, the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove the, you know, with equity the meek of the earth, and so on and so forth. So, you know, the fear of the Lord in the heart of the young boy when he was born, you know, began to teach him a lot of things. And God was to make him quick in understanding the fear of the Lord. Now, that's something that we ourselves must pray, that God will give us such an... And it's never too late to pray that prayer. Whether you are young, whether you are older, you know, it is something that God desires. He said, oh, that my fear would be in them. And we need to pray about that. You know, the fear of the Lord from time to time will cause us to come into the place that God looks at as a heart of gold. And this is our lesson today. And the prayer that we're going to take is going to be, Lord, give me a heart of gold that fears the Lord. But before we do that, let me quickly talk about the fear that I am not talking about. So I'm not talking about, you know, the kind of fear that makes people not want to come to God. You know, that's a devil that puts that kind of fear in the heart of the children of Israel. I say, we cannot hear God. If we hear his voice, we will die. You go hear from God and come and tell us. They told Moses. I'm not talking about that. You know, God invited people, come. You know, so don't have that kind of morbid fear that drives you away from God. No, we're not talking about that. Yes, our God is a consuming fire. We know that. You know, we talked about that, you know, yesterday in the room. Our God is a consuming fire. We understand that. However, you know, it is not the, you know, it is not the kind of fire that, it's not the kind of fear that should make us run away from God. It is the kind of fear that should make us run away from evil. Not run away from God, but run away from evil. Knowing that God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12 and 29 will tell us that. So, this has been a call to get back and walk in the fear of the Lord all the days of our life. If all your actions are driven by the fear of the Lord, you'll never go wrong. You know, people that don't have the fear of the Lord, they will take up evil against their neighbors. They will speak evil against their neighbor because they don't have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord that causes is what causes us to keep his word. We tremble at his word. That's really what it is. And we keep that word. Whatever that word says is what we do. The fear of the Lord is what leads us and causes us and drives us towards perfection. Even as God said to Abraham, you know, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 5 and 48. You know, he said, be ye therefore also perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. The fear of the Lord is what leads us into all of that. Because step by step, it will keep us in the way and keep us from evil. But the moment we throw that away, the moment we don't have that fear of the Lord, and we can do anything we want, say, it doesn't matter. This is my life. It's my life. I can do as I want. It's what people in this generation say. Well, when there is no fear of the Lord, the end result is never good. But when we have that fear of the Lord, you know, it's to God, it's a heart of gold. But that's what he's looking for. He says, this is the man to whom I will tremble. This is the man to whom I will look. He that trembles at my word. And we saw even how the wicked King Ahab, you know, the Bible said that there was none like him in all the wickedness, and how his wife even stirred him up to be even more wicked. Yet the day he trembled at the word of God, the Lord had a little bit of mercy upon him and delayed the judgment. So the fear of the Lord has brought, you know, people into greatness and has kept people from trouble. The lack thereof will cause people to fall into error and to sin, as we saw in the life of David, case of Bathsheba and Uriah. But let me quickly talk about, a small digression here about another kind of fear, not the fear of the Lord now, but the fear that keeps us from getting things done that we should do. And the opposite of, you know, pride, you know, I mean, pride, as we read in the story of Nebuchadnezzar and all these people. When you are on the mountaintop, pride will bring you down. And when you are in the valley, fear will keep you there. The fear of the unknown. Now, this is not the fear of the Lord, but I just thought I would throw this in. The fear of the unknown will keep people from taking a step of faith, and it will keep them in the valley. And when people are on the top, pride will bring them down quicker than anything else that I know from the top of that mountain. You know, so we've seen the story. We've seen it in the book, Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. And we've seen it in real life. You know, I've heard somebody tell me with their own words. I didn't know them, but they came to our church here in Phoenix when we first opened up, the very first place where we were. This woman came there. And one day she was telling me their story. She said she used to be a millionaire, and that through pride, she lost everything. And she, you know, it was a story that she told with her own mouth. I didn't even know who she was. You know, just somebody that came. And I said, wow. But it reminded me, she went into a lot of detail, which I won't go into now, but it reminded me of the story of Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, how quickly pride brought him down. But in his case, you know, the Lord showed us also that, you know, God can still have mercy if we have a change of heart. But the Lord told him that until you realize, you know, and then maybe he realized. So at the end of the day, he realized that, look, all these things are falling onto me because I thought that I was great by myself. Now I know that God ruleth in the affairs of men, and he sets over it even the basest of men. He can do anything he wants. I know this now. And when he began to realize that, then God began to restore his mind to him. His mind had been changed to like somebody like, it looked like a monkey. It was thinking like an animal, you know, and it was amazing. These stories are in the Bible. But then once he realized that, he came out and said, wow. I now make a decree. There is none like this God of heaven. My goodness. He can set up and he can tear down. You know, he doeth what he will in the armies of heaven, and none can stay his hand. Neither can anyone say to him, what doest thou? And he gave one of the most amazing tributes to the Lord in the end of Daniel chapter 4 there. And he gave all those things. And I said, wow. You know, so this is our lesson today on the fear of the Lord.